In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The sermon for Reminiscere is based on the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 15th chapter. But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered her, "It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire." And her daughter was healed instantly. Thus far the text. There's an interesting twist to all three texts that come to your ears this morning. And it balances on the scriptural truth that you do not create your own fear, love, and trust in the Lord. You do not muster up your own faith, and especially not your own strong faith. Scripture reveals the impossibility of your being able to do this. And so it is that you are brought to confess that you cannot by your own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ your Lord or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called you by the gospel, enlightened you with his gifts, sanctified and kept you in the true faith. Did you catch that? Is it you who comes to believe for whatever reason on your own? Or is it God working through his Holy Spirit? It's God. God drawing you in through his means. God enlightening you with his gifts of word and sacraments. God sanctifying you, that is, making you holy as only he can, as he just promised to Samuel John. God keeping him and you in the true faith. So herein lies the interesting twist to our readings for today, and really any of the Holy Scriptures that reveal God commending the faith of an individual. Jacob is found wrestling a man in the Old Testament text. And eventually, after wrestling all through the night, it is revealed to Jacob that he has been wrestling with God. Then the text actually says, "When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him." I cannot imagine the pain, but it doesn't stop Jacob. No. Jacob actually was going to keep wrestling with this man with an out-of-joint hip socket. Jacob insists that God bless him. And what does God do? He blesses him, but not because of Jacob's demand. And so just under 2,000 years later, a lowly woman will not stop with her petitions to the Lord. She asks, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David." And the Lord does not answer her a word. Wow. Silence. I imagine Jacob thought the same thing, as he didn't hear anything about a quarter of the way through the night. But the struggle continued, as it did with the Canaanite woman. And as her cries continued, the Lord Jesus Christ then says, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Still, nothing. At least Jacob, an Israelite, didn't have to worry about hearing that. But the silence of the Lord continued for him through the night. So the begging woman comes and kneels before the Lord and simply says, Lord, help me. And now the Lord answers, it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. Yet again, she is what appears to be shot down by the Lord. There is no need for the Lord to put this woman's hip socket out of joint. Her daughter lays possessed by a demon at home, and her heart aches with that suffering. But press on, she does, as she catches the Lord in his words. As she wrestles with the Son of Man, refusing to let go of his very words, until he blesses her, she says, yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat from the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Did you hear what she admits? She says, yes, Lord, yet even the dogs. First, she says, yes, Lord. But then she says, even the dogs. She admits, yes, I am a begging dog. I am outside of the chosen people of God. But I also know that the Messiah has been sent to redeem and help all nations. I also have been brought to believe that God's grace is so overflowing that the grace that comes through even tiny crumbs is enough to be received. It's enough to forgive me of my lowliness. And the Lord then answers her, O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire. And herein lies the twist. Therein lies the perplexing compliment of the Lord, the blessing finally given to her and Jacob after wrestling with him amidst their suffering. Within these praising words, along with all of the other words where the Lord commends the faith of an individual, it must be realized that according to the explanation of the third article of the Creed, that you cannot by your own reason or strength, hear that, or strength, believe in Jesus Christ, your Lord, or come to him, but the Holy Spirit has called you by the gospel, enlightens you with his gifts, sanctified, and keeps you in the true faith. According to this, being your confession of faith, based on the Holy Scriptures, then what God is actually commending and praising is his created and sustained faith within those who wrestle with him. It's simply impossible for God or you to be impressed as if you came up with or created a persistent, undaunted, strong faith of yourselves. Repent. By your very own belief, you confess to the very exact opposite. So, in fact, Jacob could only have wrestled with the Lord all through the night because it was the Lord who was giving him the strength to do so. It was the struggle that made Jacob stronger. Thanks to the Lord. And as the lowly woman cried out to the Lord, it was his silence that brought her to have a stronger, more persistent cry. Again, he wasn't silent to kill faith. He who creates faith and sustains faith was bringing faith to do that for which he had created it, to receive what he has to give. He was, in fact, bringing Jacob and the woman to rely not on themselves in any way, but instead he brought them to rely only upon the word of God. Listen to these words of our beloved Reverend Dr. Martin Luther, for they truly shed light on this understanding of all of your wrestlings with God. He comments on this very text of the Canaanite woman this way. And this is written in order that we might be comforted, and that it may be made clear to us all how deeply God hides his grace from us, that we should not judge him according to our feeling and our thinking about him, but in accordance with his word alone. Now, at first, the reaction to such a statement is shock. God hides his grace? How dare he? But hear now these further words from Luther that clarify what he intends. He states, when God wants to strengthen a man's faith, he first weakens it by pretending to break faith with him. God thrusts the man into many tribulations and makes him so weary that he is driven to despair. And yet God also gives the man strength to be still and persevere. Elsewhere, Luther writes, why then does God let such suffering and affliction befall those whom he loves the most? First, because he wants to save his people from pride, so that the great saints who have received such special grace from him should not venture to put their trust in themselves. Therefore, it must thus be mingled and salted for them, so that they do not always think that they possess the power of the Spirit, but that at times their faith grows restless and their hearts grow faint, so that they perceive what they are and confess that they can achieve nothing unless the pure grace of God sustains them. Again, God also lets such affliction befall them as an example to others, to shake the self-confident souls and to comfort those who are afraid. In the third place comes the right and true cause why God acts thus, namely, in order to teach his saints where they should seek true comfort and be content to find Christ and abide in him. My friends, in Christ Jesus, God sustains you in your tribulations, and he brings you to be content and to abide with him as he feeds you with his word and sacraments, wherever he finds you, Although it seems sometimes as if God abandons you in your time of need, it seems as if he's silent. He brings you to wrestle with him. To a greater extent, he brings you to petition him even more. And it's in this way, in the way of the cross, that he draws you closer to himself. It's in this way that God hides life under death, heaven under hell, wisdom under folly, and grace under sin. Your sufferings are his, for he took all of it upon himself so that you would have peace in him. For in him you have forgiveness of sins, life and salvation. How in the world can you rejoice in your sufferings? Guess what? You cannot. Instead of cursing God with the voice of the old Adam who wants all things to be easy and crossless, repent. Lean not on your own understanding. Be brought to lean all the more heavily upon the Lord. Through your sufferings, God brings you to be more focused upon his Son and his sufferings for you. And in so doing, in so pointing you to the cross of his crucified Son, the old Adam dies and the new man rejoices. Samuel, who was first born outside of the church, was given a second birth through the womb of the font of Mother Church. Born again from above through the merits of Christ crucified for him, welcomed into the body of Christ, now being kept holy, now only living between the font and the altar. And now he, too, will be brought to wrestle with the Lord, being made stronger by the Lord. He and the rest of you Christians, torn between your two natures, can rejoice in that struggle. For when you are weak, then you are strong through the cross of Christ crucified. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart. Christ has overcome the world, death, the devil, hell, gaining forgiveness of sins, life and salvation for you. Come, eat those crumbs. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.